If you haven't heard of augmented reality before, you've probably heard it by now. That's the technology behind the worldwide Pokemon Go craze. Augmented reality has both similarities and differences to virtual reality. Special education professor Don McMahon tells us what the difference is. So why would a special education professor talk with us about augmented reality? How did he become a cutting-edge researcher in that field? He'll explain how augmented reality is being used in the college's Assistive Technology Lab and how that lab is helping increase opportunity and equity for students, especially those with disabilities.
Education, news, and research. It's Education Eclipse from Washington State University.
Back here on Education Eclipse, my name is Brandon Chapman, and I'm joined by my friend Don McMahon. He's an assistant professor of special education here at Washington State University's College of Education. We're really happy to have Don here all the way from across the other side of the country. That's right. He's from South Carolina originally, but he's got Rocky Top in his blood because he went to school at Tennessee. You spent quite a bit of time there, Don. Just kind of briefly tell us what took you to Tennessee, what you've been doing since then until coming out here last year.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I went to Tennessee to get my undergraduate degree, and after working in the summer camp world in North Carolina for a while and doing some outdoor education work, I realized my mom was right and I was supposed to become a teacher. So I went back and got my teaching license in Knoxville and became a special education teacher for about 9 years, and then realized I was really enjoying the education research side of things and decided it was time to get a PhD, and got my PhD in special education and really got into educational research and finding ways of using technology to help students with disabilities. And
here you are.
I got whisked away to the greatest place on earth, Pullman, Washington.
Pullman, Washington. That's right. And we can thank your mom, Mama McMahon, for giving you that sage advice. We're certainly better for it here at the College of Education.
I attempted to not listen for many years. It would have been a lot simpler to just pick up my teaching degree the first try through college, but
right.
My undergrad was in history and film.
Was that a humbling experience going back and, Mom, you're right, I'm wrong, smart.
It always is. I've said that so many times to my mom. I don't even know if it affects me anymore. I just accept that I am humbled.
No doubt. Well, thanks so much for joining me and for being here. As I mentioned, the college is better off for you being here. Because you're involved in this thing, augmented reality, I've read quite a bit about augmented reality. Give us a brief overview, if you can, without going too in-depth, because you got to remember you're talking to me here, so keep it really simple. But what is augmented reality, and is that a little bit like virtual reality?
Yeah, they're both part of a field called mixed reality. So if you think of reality as a spectrum, over here on the...
Wait, hold on. I ask you to separate the difference between them. Now you added a third reality. You're supposed to make it simpler for me.
All right, so I'll take you there. Think about it like this. You are currently in reality all the way here on the left-hand side of a spectrum. It is the physical world, and that's reality.
Okay, even though I'm talking to you, and that's like being on cloud nine.
Yep.
Okay.
All the way on the far side of that is virtual reality. I've got on a little set of goggles, and I'm in a little complete computer simulation, and I'm probably not going to be walking around or crossing the street because I have on these goggles showing me this virtual world. And if I were to cross the street, I wouldn't be able to see the cars and, you know, I would get hit.
Right.
AR is...
AR meaning augmented reality.
Yep.
Okay.
So augmented reality is a live view of this world, so of reality, with just a little bit of digital information overlaid on top of it.
Okay.
For example, we've seen it in movies for years.
Oh, where they're like spinning things in their hands, or where the Minority Report.
Minority Report's a classic example, but even some practical technologies that have been out there for a while.
Really?
So in Top Gun, when there's that big target around the MiG that Maverick's going to shoot down, and
okay.
It says, hey, shoot down this MiG. It's right here. Here's the big red target. That's back in the 80s, that cost millions of dollars to put into a fighter jet. Now all of our smartphones will do it for us.
Just you bringing this up, you've actually dated yourself, so now we know about how old you are with your Top Gun reference.
I'm 39 right now, so, yep.
Okay.
But I think that's kind of what's exciting about AR is, it went from being this thing that cost millions of dollars. It was the term was originally coined by Boeing engineers when they implemented it on an assembly line to show people, hey, put this object here when you're building this engine.
Sure.
Now we can do that same type of thing, but in educational settings, because the cost has come down so much and our mobile devices are so flexible. So I could create vocabulary words that pop up with a definition right beside the vocabulary word. So if you're a middle school science student trying to sound out the word pyroclastic cloud for volcanoes,
mm-hmm.
and you're sitting here going, that's a really big word, I don't know how to say it. The definition could pop up, could say it out loud for you right there. So there are a lot of pretty fun ways that we can start to use this technology. And
I would love if, you know, I could wear those. Now you wear them though on your face, right?
So there are a couple of different ways that we've done some of our AR work. Most of it right now has been on some type of mobile device like an iPad.
Okay.
So I'm just going to hold up the iPad and use the camera view and whichever app I'm using to show me, let's say, that vocabulary word, or a smartphone to help me navigate independently to a new location. So I hold up my smartphone if I'm trying to navigate to the grocery store, if I'm a student with a disability. And I may not be able to find it independently, but if I hold up this live camera view, I can see that there's a little arrow hovering over down the road there saying the grocery store is 0.5 miles away.
Okay.
Or 200 feet away. And if I look over behind me, I'm not going to see that arrow because it's only going to really kind of work as that heads-up display. Kind of the classic examples that we kind of see in science fiction like Minority Report or things like that are giving you status updates and lots of information,
mm-hmm.
kind of surround in the world. That's
in the whole world where you're walking. I mean, there's all this. So without getting into too much detail, but I hear about these things like Google Glass, for example. Does that have augmented reality built into it at all?
Yes. So okay. Google Glass is an example from a couple of years ago of a head-mounted display that would give some little digital information over top of a live view of the physical world.
I just want, as I'm walking around wearing augmented reality glasses like that for me it would be, 83% chance of foot and mouth disease. Or, you know, if you go this direction with these people, it's even less.
Yep.
You know?
And so there's a lot of smart glasses that are going to start coming out here. There are some that are out already, and then I think in the next 5 to 8 years, we're going to see an explosion of that. And one of the reasons I got into this field was I thought it would, one, had a lot of really practical benefits for my students with disabilities, but
mm-hmm.
Also as a researcher, you know, I think sometimes you have to kind of look at what's going to come next, or where am I going to focus my efforts. And one of my mentors did a lot of work. His name was Dr. David Chiak, and he did a lot of work on something called video modeling, which is a really great instructional practice for students with disabilities.
Okay, because I was going to ask. I mean, I could imagine the different scenarios in which augmented reality would help a classroom, but what about those specifically with disabilities?
So I wanted to try to find a niche kind of like that, and I kind of centered on AR for that. And so for my students with disabilities, whether they're working on, let's say, an academic skill or a functional skill, there are a lot of ways that AR can help them. One of the things that we've worked on is augmented reality for a chain task. So just like when we try to, let's say, fix our washing machine because it's not draining,
mm-hmm.
first thing I do is not open up a manual or anything like that. I go pull up a YouTube video of someone showing me what's happening with the washing machine.
Which is awesome. I changed my my brakes, rotors, everything using YouTube.
Exactly. With some of the tools that we have now, so we now have set up to become a Microsoft HoloLens developer, which is one of those types of wearable augmented reality glasses that you were just talking about, being able to walk down the street. I can take that YouTube video and put it right beside the wheel for your car. So when you're working on the brakes, you can just kind of look up and to the left, and that video is going to be playing right where you placed it, virtually as a little digital object right beside your car.
That's awesome.
And so that is kind of that the promise of Minority Report and lots of the science fiction that we had a decade ago is kind of really starting to be realized with some of the devices that we have now.
And then you could also augmentatively realitize, not sure if that's a word. You could even have the little space suits, you know, the science fiction space suits, just place them over everybody.
There's the
world is limitless.
There's some pretty exciting things that are going to start happening here in the next decade, I think.
So with those with disabilities in the classroom, explain one scenario that you could totally see, having been a special education teacher and now doing this research. Just give us one real life example of, you know, little Susie or Johnny or whatever in the classroom and where that could help them.
Absolutely. One of the, you know, regardless of disability area, one of the things that students most frequently struggle with is reading. Okay. And there's so many options with augmented reality to provide kind of not very invasive prompts. So with one of our projects that we hope to do in the coming year is to look at ways that we could use some of the cameras on the HoloLens to help students with their reading. And so maybe it could be as simple as I hold my finger at a word that I'm having a hard time reading, and maybe after a certain amount of time, it will just say the word aloud for me.
Hmm.
That is pretty potentially powerful stuff.
I need that for people that I've met and I can't remember their name, and you don't want to be like, hey,
I could just double tap you and your name would pop up.
That's right.
But it could also be a lot more complicated than just saying the word. I could have an entire video pop up like we have with some of our research studies for science vocabulary. So we taught a group of students with intellectual disabilities who were kind of high school, college age students who were working on a set of relatively hard science vocabulary words, like a list of 10 organs and what their functions were, and 10 of bones of the body and parts of the plant cell. And they had to both label them correctly on where they went and define them. And augmented reality really was very intuitive to help them learn how to do that, and they picked it up very, very quickly, and was a huge success. So I think there's a lot of potential to use this technology.
That's awesome.
And one of the things that we have going on now is we're trying to organize our efforts a little bit by setting up an assistive technology research and development lab here at WSU.
Perfect.
And that will give other people an opportunity to kind of come in and see some of the projects that we have going on, and hopefully get some more undergraduate students involved in our work here in the College of Education. But also, it'll help us be a partner to other groups across the campus, like computer science. We've been trying to work with them for a while, trying to find some ways that their work over there can complement our projects, and we can complement some of their work.
That's great. Anytime we can add that collaboration as well. How does this relate to the grand challenges we talk about all the time, at the university?
Absolutely. I think we hit three of them pretty well. Opportunity for All is obviously the one that we kind of classically find ourselves relating to at the College of Education, but there are also a lot of options for things like healthy living, or I think it's sustaining health, and I forgot the exact wording of the grand challenge.
I think that's it.
I lost my...
Advancing opportunity and equity is the one. Sustaining health is another one.
Sustaining health.
And then, smart systems would...
The smart systems is the one that I think the AT lab will be uniquely positioned for in the College of Ed, because what we're really looking at creating are context-aware prompts for people. So one of the things that would be that really helpful for students with disabilities is for it to know what prompts I'm going to need in what situation. So if we're trying to design something to help someone live independently, or transition from high school to independent living, having instructions on how to use the washing machine that are permanently a YouTube video explaining each step of the process that is always going to be virtually and kind of just digitally floating above the washing machine would be a really powerful way of, you know, using paired association and kind of place-based just-in-time learning to support their needs.
I don't like that at all. And I'll just tell you, because now I can't use the excuse with my wife that I just can't figure out the washing machine.
Yeah, because she would be like, just pull up, put on your HoloLens or put on your smart glasses and then, watch the video.
Yeah, but and she knows I'm good enough with technology that then I can't say, well, I can't understand this HoloLens. So so with your assistive technology, your assistive technology lab, just an overview would be you're going to be doing research and development. You're going to be using augmented reality and maybe some virtual reality tools in there. Microsoft HoloLens, for example.
Yep.
All of these things are going to be done, you know, in accordance with trying to realize the completion of, you know, or helping us to reach these grand challenges, overcome them, and we'll be able to do them in collaboration. I mean, it sounds perfect to me. What a perfect thing that you've got going. So it's already, like, it sounds amazing.
I'll remind myself that you said that it seems perfect.
When you do,
next time, something won't turn on or the regular challenges of life happen.
Well, but there are some other exciting things. Yeah.
I think there are some definitely promising things that happening. We have a virtual reality exercise gaming study happening. So we're going to try to, the overall theme of the lab is to try to cut down on the time that it takes for cutting edge innovations to make their way into practical interventions for students with disabilities.
Okay.
And
that sounds like a whole different podcast, actually. So,
yeah, but that's just kind of our broader theme, I would say. And that also allows us to kind of support other exciting things that are happening in the College of Education and the special education program in general. For example, Dr. Brenda Barrio and I are working to get a post-secondary education program started at the WSU Pullman campus for students with intellectual and developmental disabilities, possibly some students with autism that possibly didn't graduate with a high school diploma, but still need some type of comprehensive transition program.
Right, to get them into the workforce.
And absolutely.
We spoke with Marcus Poppin, you know, a few months ago about how important it is to be able to have people transition to the workforce and be job ready. So that's fantastic. Would you be willing to come with come on the podcast with us in the future when that's when
absolutely that's more yeah. I think okay. Hopefully here in the fall we'll start to have some exciting news happening with that project is actually called WSU ROAR for Responsibility, Opportunity, Advocacy, and Respect.
And you would have put those in any order, but because it made ROAR,
yeah,
right, it's very cougar.
I thought about trying to get my lab spell out Pounce, but it just was too much work, so we decided to go with AT Lab instead. But
well, there you go. Well, thank you. Anything else you want to add, Don?
No, just thank you for having me, and thanks for all the support. And
okay,
be in touch.
Thanks very much. We got Don McMahon. He came to us from the Rocky State, but now he lives in Eastern Best State. That's right. And we are blessed to have him here at the College of Education. Don, thank you so much. And we will certainly have you on again.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Education Eclipse, a College of Education podcast from Washington State University.